Okay. So I'm passing around some biochar from a company in Utah. My name's Brittany Hunter. I work for Utah State University Extension as a county faculty. So I'm going to share a little bit about a grant project that I'm working on, and you're welcome to open that up and look at it and smell it and stuff. It's actually not that smelly. Anyway, this grant project is funded by Western SARE and the Sustainable Agriculture and Research Education Organization, so it's pretty exciting. The county that I work in is very urban. I work a lot with homeowners and landscapers, nursery people, and also small-scale vegetable growers that grow for direct market. And so that's kind of my focus, but I was introduced to biochar from my colleagues in forestry. We have a really strong forestry department. And we're looking at biochar in Utah because we treat 40,000 acres of our pinyon juniper forest land every year for fire suppression. And so they go in and they have to make those breaks so that if a wildfire does come through, it stops. And so that's one of the waste wood products that we're looking at. Well, the Forest Service is looking at trying to utilize that in a different way. And so they've been asking questions, would biochar be an area that we could, you know, repurpose that wood? Okay, so what is biochar? If you've been to the last few sessions, you've heard a little bit about that. It's carbon-rich material produced when anything that was once living or organic solids are heated in a contained system with limited oxygen. And in my study, because the SARE grant is a professional plus producer grant, I had to work with at least 5 producers, and so we chose fruit producers to be part of our cooperators. So we're taking fruit wood, the prunings from the orchard, turning it into char, and testing it on vegetables. And I will say too that the fruit growers are excited about it. They don't know what to do. They have a lot of prunings every year, and as I've talked to them a little bit about it, if there's another market that they would have for that, the prunings of their peach orchard, they're excited by it. So it's been good to work with them. And this is the pyrolysis unit that made the char that's going around. The company is called Western Renewables Technology, and they're just an up-and-coming company. What they're doing is buying the pyrolysis machines from Europe, bringing them in, and then reselling them. So they're more in this whole technology industry and not necessarily in a selling biochar industry. But anyway, also out of pyrolysis you get heat, you get electricity, biofuels, and biochar. So there's actually several pyrolysis industries in Utah starting, and they're all very excited for us to test out biochar and see if there's a market for these products. So in the soil, there's a lot of claims of what biochar is supposed to do. And what it's supposed to do is help retain water, help with the soil structure, with drainage. It has a cation exchange capacity, so it holds on to nutrients. It can adjust the pH if you're looking for that. And it has that nutrient holding capacity, and then it also has a housing for microbial activity. And so the picture on the top is the soils in the Amazon where they've found the charcoal remains along with pottery shards and bone and manure. So those soils, it's night and day in a tropical environment where it's very depleted, and where they have the charcoal, it's this dark, rich, black soil that replenishes itself. It doesn't go away. You could add in some soil from the depleted and put it over into the black soil, and it would become black soil. It's a living, fertile soil. So what we want to do is recreate that and by producing carbon and putting it in our soils to try to make them fertile. And I think that the fact that it's so porous and has such a high surface area, all the life, microbes in the soil have kind of an apartment complex. They're like They went from having, you know, a little shack to having like a plush condo, and so the microbes are thriving and they're making the soil work. So anyway, we think that's what's happening. I know it's not an issue to a lot of climates, but water is huge in the West. We're very panicked about drought, and this is a graph that I got from Confluence Energy out of Colorado, who I've also purchased biochar from. They're selling it in super sacks for about $300. So giant, you know, as the technology gets figured out and they make bigger and bigger machines, it's going to get cheaper. And they sent me this graph, and what it is with the addition of biochar, they have consistently about 10% more volumetric water at any given time. Is that water available to plants? I'm not quite sure. But I did see a study out of Arizona where they grew grass, and some with biochar, some with not, and then they shut off the water, and the grass with the biochar lived 2 weeks longer. So that's why in Utah we're thinking, that could really be helpful if our water got shut off, would those crops live longer? So that's exciting to us. So in this study, we have orchard growers participating. The Forest Service is interested. We have a biomass resources group and committee that kind of oversees this kind of projects in the state, and also renewable energy companies, pyrolysis companies involved. So what we did is take fruit wood. This is one of our cooperating growers, and we chipped it up and into a fine chip. It has to be chipped up before you give it to or put it through the machine. This is a smaller machine on a trailer that could be actually moved into the forest or out to the orchard, and it could be made on site. Some of this is where the oil comes out, goes through, and this system is—it's a giant cylinder, and then there's a heating element underneath, and the wood tumbles around in there, and as it contacts the warm surface, it becomes char. That's what it looks like, and because in other studies they've seen that at a different temperature of pyrolysis, the char has different qualities in the end, a different surface area, and that the last year, before we even took it out into the field, what we did was a pot trial. And so I had biochar that was pyrolysized at 375°C, 475°C, and 575°C. And then we also tested some different rates that would be 1, 2, and 3% by weight on a field scale. So 1% would be 10 tons per acre, 20 tons per acre, 30 tons per acre. But we're also looking at banding it within the row. So you think, okay, it's going to be $14,000, but what if you banded it? That's not quite as much acreage that you'd have to cover. They also, the company that we is working with us, gave us a pulverized, powdered, and a powdered, so the chunky and the powder. Also, before we put the soil into the pots, which was a field soil, I soaked it in water and I added some fertilizer to try to charge it before we incorporated it. I've read that that's good to do in other studies. That's what it looked like, mixing with the soil. And then we seeded some lettuce. Even though we want to look at melanin and tomatoes, lettuce is a short season crop and it's just easy to grow in containers. So we seeded that, watered it. 90 days later, I harvested all the lettuce and took the dry weights. We did have some caterpillar feeding that got out of control before I was able to catch it, and so that was disappointing. So we had a lot of variability in the plant size, but we did get some results that helped us. So what you see here is that these gray bars, the black is the fertilizer only, gray is control, and then you can see all the other trees kind of down here below it. So just like I said, when you first apply biochar, it sucks up nitrogen so well that if you don't have enough fertilizer amendments, I just did the one application, you can see that dip in growth. But you can see my standard error bars also, it's all over the place. But the study was successful in preparing us for our field trial, in that we saw, 375. there, and this was pulverized, so that was powdered. But we really didn't want to work with the powder because that's way too hard. So we're working with 375C char at a 2% rate. So that trial did was successful in leading us to the next step. So the next step this year is we take that char and we put it on our grower site. We have three vegetable growers that we're working with in Davis County, and also the Utah State University Botanical Center, which is also in the county. And what we're going to measure is how it holds water and nutrients in the soil. So I don't have my water sensor, my moisture sensors out yet, but I will. And then we're going to measure biomass, the total plant biomass, the yield of tomatoes and melons. And we're also measuring disease resistance because our vegetable growers who grow melons, they have a big problem with soil-borne pathogens, and that is another property of char that has been studied, so we're also looking at that. This is what it looks like out in the soil, and then the fertilizer on top. We're using an organic fertilizer with a known analysis just because one of our cooperating growers is organic and we wanted to just be consistent. So here's the tomatoes growing. They're a lot bigger now, but I had to upload my presentation so 2 weeks ago or something. And you can see some differences in plant size when you really look up close, especially with the melons. Right away you can see it with the melons, but I have taken some pruning data from the tomatoes, so we go and take off some of the lower suckers for growth anyways, and I've looked at the dry biomass of that, and of course you can see the controls way lower, and the fertilizer only and the biochar plus fertilizer are very close. The biochar plus fertilizer is a little bit lower than the fertilizer only, so same results, but I have another year after this where we're going to plant in the same site, and hopefully we're going to see the upswing where you see a little dip right after you apply biochar, and hopefully it comes back up again. And this is a picture of the Phytophthora trial. So in a greenhouse, we're inoculating the tomato and melon with that disease, and possibly Fusarium if we can get it. And we're going to see if that biochar helps inhibit those soil-borne pathogens. So that would really help our melon industry. So I'm ending a little early, but there's always lots of questions. So thank you very much. And this is my contact. Well, if you would like to follow my study, because I know I'm kind of in the middle of it right now presenting results, you can look on the utahbiomassresources.org website, and that's where we kind of keep an up-to-date report, but also on the Western SARE website, our reports are there. So.